This is Artbeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zenta A-Stars. Alzheimer's disease affects more and more families, and the topic appears more often in novels as authors explore the dynamics of the disease. Kalamazoo author and psychotherapist Deborah Gang addresses it in her debut novel, The Half-Life of Everything. She wonders what would happen if a person regained their memory and unexpectedly returned to their family and a spouse who had gone on with life without her. Gang reads from the book.
David actually cringed when Mrs. Nowecki, the director of the facility, stopped him and asked that they meet. He hadn't seen Kate for more than 2 weeks because of travel and then the flu. Or was it three? He'd wanted to come sooner, but when the director heard him cough into the phone, he was forbidden. Was she now going to examine his throat? They walked to her office where a solemn young man was waiting. She introduced him as Dr. Sang, the primary investigator for the study. What's going on? Is something wrong? There have been some changes in your wife's condition. She's showing small improvements, and she hasn't regressed as people tend to do. We think it's because of the trial medication. He looked as if he expected David to say something here, but David couldn't form any words. He stared, dumbfounded. I can't stress enough that these improvements may not last, and all of this could be very painful for you. You certainly have the option of waiting to see her until we know more. David wasn't sure if he had ever been astonished before. He heard himself say, as if from a great distance, "What do you mean by improvements? We see more signs of alertness, more responsiveness. Of course I want to see her. Can I see her now? I don't see any reason to wait." Mrs. Nowecki stood and said, "I'll take you to her. She's in the library."
So congratulations on your debut novel, Deborah, The Half-Life of Everything. Describe for us in a nutshell what your book is about.
We have a 50-something, very happily married man, David, who loses his wife to early Alzheimer's. They're in their mid-50s, so still young.
Yeah.
To some of us. She's alive, but she's gone. And as some years go by, he starts to wonder, is this the rest of his life? What is married widower supposed to do?
It's interesting that in your book, it's not even that much of a focus on Kate, the woman with Alzheimer's, as the whole family dynamic. Introduce us a little bit to the characters. We've got Kate and David, the married couple, but there's another part of the family there.
We have their two adult sons, Dylan the older and Jack the younger. And then we have Jane, who David later meets. Those are the main characters. As with people that aged, their parents feature in their lives to some extent, but as with many of us, they don't live near their parents. So their lives are mostly their friends and their adult sons.
And there's a love story times two with Kate and Jane. You know, I thought about Flowers for Algernon, if you've ever read that book.
I have read that.
Which is a story of someone miraculously being able to, in that case, increase in intelligence, and then he loses that, and there's a relapse. So the tension of this book, and I won't tell our audience on how it ends, is will she relapse or not when she comes back to David intellectually? And there's this dynamic. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, it's really a what-if idea, and like so much of all of the conversations of my friends, it's a National Public Radio idea. A few years ago, I heard just a brief news clip, you know, those top-of-the-hour clips that they have about yet another Alzheimer's trial that showed great promise. And there was something about the wording where it sounded like maybe this was the one. And I thought, what if people could come back?
This is Artbeat on WMUK. I'm Zenta A-Stars. It's interesting, this dynamic with Jane, Kate, and David. We have that triangle. As we said, he was a quote-unquote widower, although Kate is still alive physically, and Jane comes into the picture. And you decided on a different dynamic than perhaps
most readers might expect. It's really a very friendly arrangement.
Well, I was interested in the problem of how do good people handle terrible luck. I also love reading about terrible people, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not one of those
they
people.
They are interesting.
They are, and a lot of people say, oh, I didn't like that book because I didn't like the characters, and I would almost never say that.
Or we have to love to hate them, maybe.
Evil is interesting, and narcissists are interesting, but I, in this case, wanted to write about a functional family. Some of my favorite authors write about functional families in difficult situations. And so that was a choice to have people dealing with something awful, but mostly trying to be good to each other.
Yeah.
And consider other points of view.
And they seem to achieve that. Do you have any personal ties to Alzheimer's? Or did you study patients in preparation for the book? Or how did you come about with your research on Alzheimer's?
You know, it's interesting. When I, in the very early days of my career, no one had ever heard of Alzheimer's. And one of my colleagues began to present at in-service trainings at Community Mental Health about this new disorder called Alzheimer's. And we were fascinated and frightened because she was reading how this would become a very common fixture in our lives. I didn't have much experience with it clinically, and we've been very lucky in our families as far as not having relatives with Alzheimer's, though I have certainly witnessed it among acquaintances and so on, and it's such a part of our literature and the daily news. Mm-hmm. The New York Times has a major article almost every day about Alzheimer's. So I think it's hard to ignore.
And when you were writing this book, did you debate with yourself? Because it could have had very plausibly two different endings. And without saying which ending you chose, was that a debate for you, or how did you decide to go this way rather than that way?
It's a good question, but hard to answer because, well, some writers know everything before they start writing. I think mystery writers, people writing
those
series,
kind of books,
they often outline. And some literary fiction writers do that too. I knew the setup. I knew that there would be a choice for David to make. I did not know what would happen when I was writing. And that really revealed itself in the first draft.
Yeah.
But as it happens, and you hear writers say, and it may sound silly, I wrote it so I could find out what happened. But there was some truth to that. I only knew a certain amount before I started.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Art Beat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Deborah Gang, the author of The Half-Life of Everything. Gang will read from her novel at This Is a Bookstore in Kalamazoo on Thursday, September 13 at 6:30 p.m. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Art Beat. Thanks for listening.